Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
So I have always been kind of a fan of the mafia. I'm not with a name like Antonucci. I need to be clear. I have no mafia connections. I'm not a fan of the actual mafia, of their values or what they do, but I like mafia movies. Any fans of mafia movies? I thought it might be cool. We'll start with a quick quiz to test your knowledge of mafia movies. It's a really easy quiz. I have like the most famous mafia movie quotes ever. You tell me for a point what movie, and if you know who said it, like the character's name, you get a bonus point. So here's the first one. Who said, "As far back as I remember, I always wanted to be a gangster"? Movie? Oh man, guys, come on. It's Goodfellas. Henry Hill said it in Goodfellas. Okay, I get you. You're not fans. How about this one? There are many things my father taught me here in this room. He taught me, keep your friends closer, but your enemies closer. Godfather, right? That was Michael Corleone in The Godfather. What about this one? What do you mean I'm funny? I'm funny to you? Man, First Service, they knew their mafia movies. This is that's Tommy DeVito, Joe Pesci, and Goodfellas. How about a different kind of mafia movie? Say hello to my little friend. Scarface, Tony Montana. And then the last one, my favorite all-time mafia movie quote, leave the gun, take the cannoli. That was Clemenza in The Godfather. All right. Well, I like mafia movies, but I never thought that I would do a teaching series at church on anything to do with the mafia. But the reason we're doing this is kind of cool. So 2 weekends from today, we have a guest speaker, Michael Francis. Michael Francis was a mafia boss. In fact, the federal government in a report said that he was the biggest mob mafia money earner since Al Capone. He's the son of Sonny Francis, who was the underboss of the Colombo crime family in New York City. If you do watch Goodfellas, Michael Francis is one of the characters in the movie. If you go to the Mob Museum, he's right there on the walls. Well, Michael was put in prison and put in solitary confinement. When you get put in solitary confinement, they give you a Bible. That's it. And that Bible led him to faith and changed his life. And so he's going to be sharing some cool stories from his mafia days and talking about the life transformation that he's experienced. Be here in 2 weeks, March 24th and 25th. Bring your friends. Easiest invite ever. But having him here raise the question, so we do teaching series, 2 weeks to 6 weeks on a specific topic. What topic do you do when you have a mafia guy coming as part of the series? And we like to learn about God through pop culture. We teach about God through pop culture. The reason we do that is because Jesus did. And so we thought, could we learn anything about God and life with God from the mafia? So when you're in the mafia, you are called a made man. And so I Googled made man just to see what does it mean? And it was fascinating. A made man, it turns out, one, you need to be born into it to become a made man. They're not out looking for strangers. They're not recruiting new people. You have to be born into the family. But being born into the family is not enough. You also have to, two, be chosen into it. So they look at and evaluate members of their family. And if you make the cut, you're chosen. And if you're born into it and you're chosen into it, then you are, three, initiated into it. So the mafia is looking for full commitment from its made men. And if you're willing to make that commitment to answer the call, then you go through an initiation ceremony. And I read all that and thought, I think a teaching series on this will actually work. Because just like with the mafia, you are, one, born into this. In the mafia, you're called a made man. We could say you were made for this. You were born into this. You were made for this. You were made for a relationship with God and life in God's family. Now, I realize that you may be new to this. In fact, you heard that today is our church's ninth anniversary, our ninth birthday. One of the cool things about our church is that right about 70% of the people who come when they first show up are kind of new to all of this. And if you are new to this, I realize that the idea of of believing in God or making God a big part of your life or even just going to church might feel awkward. And I get that. I grew up in a completely non-Christian home, never went to church until I was 20 years old. And when I first started considering Jesus and going to church, it was awkward. But it was intriguing. Like I started to read the Bible for the first time, and I didn't know what to think of the Bible at first. But at the same time, there was something inside of me that felt like, as I read, I think maybe I was made for this. And then when I went to church, I felt completely out of place. It was a church with an organ on one side and a piano on the other, and everybody was like 84 years old, and I was 20, and they were wearing suits, and I was wearing shorts and a t-shirt, and I was like, I don't belong here. I am completely out of place. But at the same time, there was something inside me that felt like, man, I think maybe I was made for this. And you were made for this, even if it seems like it doesn't quite fit you. I mean, that's natural. Anytime you're new to something, it feels a little uncomfortable. But even still, isn't there something inside of you that just whispers, you're made for this? But by the way, if you are kind of new to things and you're trying to figure things out, we have something we call Next Step, and it's designed for you. Next Step happens every Sunday at 10:30 and noon in the Next Step room right across the hallway. And it's a fun, interactive seminar that will orient you to God and life with God and how do you grow in your faith. And it is so good. And if you never take Next Step, take Next Step. And you will realize you were made for this. In fact, you were born into this. Look what the Bible says. And by the way, we give out free Bibles at the Velcro Bar. Man, in our 9 years, we've given out like thousands of Bibles. It's really cool. Psalm 139, starting in verse 13, it's on the screen. It says, it's like a prayer to God. It says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. It said you are fearfully and wonderfully made. This month, our kids' ministry is also doing a series called Made. They are not talking about the mafia, okay? Just to assure you, your toddler is not going to be, give me that sippy cup or I'll whack you. That's not coming, okay? What they're talking about in kids' ministry is this verse, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Listen, before you were born, God had you in mind. When you were in the womb, God knew you. Like from the day of your birth, God has had a plan for your life. And at the heart of his plan for you is for you to have a relationship with him and be part of his family. That's why he brought you into existence. You were born for this. You were made for this. It makes me think of my daughter. So, like, I remember that day when we found out that we were having her, that she existed. And I remember the day that she was born. And then years later, the day that she put her faith in Jesus. And so she was baptized. In a bit, I'll explain what baptism is. And you'll actually even have a chance to be baptized today if you're open to that, if you're interested in that. Well my daughter is now graduating from high school in May. And this summer, she's going off to Hope International University in Fullerton, California. By the way, Hope International University, the school my daughter is going to, just opened a campus here in Las Vegas. Unfortunately, my daughter would rather live near Disneyland and the ocean than with her awesome dad. So she's going off. But if you're interested in taking college courses at a great Christian school, Hope's campus in Las Vegas is an option I would say you should totally consider. And we have a representative here, Paul Trainer from the school. He'll be out in the lobby after each service today. And if you have questions or just want to find out more information, he'd love to talk to you. He's a good guy. So my daughter, though, she's going to go off to school. And just, man, thinking about, you know, like when she came into existence and seeing her now living out the reason for her existence. a relationship with God and life in his family. Like watching her step into that life is so cool. And just like her, you were born into this. You were made for this. Not only that, but also, and just like the mafia, you were too chosen for this. All through the Bible, we see God choosing people. Now, if you're anything like me, you might think, God would never choose me. Like, maybe he would never choose me. But here's what's interesting. With all the examples we see of God choosing people in the Bible, when God chooses someone, it's always someone really messy. God chooses a guy named Abraham. Abraham had a major problem with lying. God chooses a guy named Noah, and we see Noah completely passed out, drunk, and naked. God chooses Moses. Moses murdered some dude. God chooses these 12 people to be Jesus' disciples or apostles, and whoo, they have all kinds of issues. God chooses ordinary, messy people, and that means we make the cut. Like, he would choose us. Man, when we started Verve, we were like, how could we just get, what if we just got a bunch of messy people together? And looking around this room, I think we've accomplished our purpose. We did pretty good. We were like, how could we do that? Like, what would be the best strategy? Let's put the church next to a truck stop. That will do it. God chooses messy people, and you were chosen for this. That's why he has you here today. You might think, oh, I'm here because this is where I go because somebody invited me. I lost a bet. No, God has brought you here, and he is calling you today. And you just have to say yes to that call. Here's what else is interesting about God choosing people in the Bible. When he chooses someone, it's always for more. So God chose people like Abraham and Noah and Moses, that they were just living ordinary lives. They were ordinary people just like us. But God called them to something greater, something beyond them, a bigger plan that they would need faith to move into, a dream that they would have to partner with God to achieve. And God is choosing you for more. We could say you were made for more. You are made for this, and you are made for more. Listen, God has plans for you. He has been dreaming about his plans for you since before you were born. There are things that God intends for you to accomplish that no one else in this world has been chosen for. You were destined for impact. Like, God made you to make a dent in this universe. You're made for more. You just need to realize it. When I became a Christian, I was about to go to law school. And I did. I went to law school. And I loved law school. But I couldn't escape this feeling that I was made for more. And so I ended up transferring from law school to seminary, became a pastor. I started a church in Virginia Beach. I was there for 12 years. And then we loved that. We loved Virginia Beach, loved our church. But again, we had this feeling that we're being called to more. And God led us on this journey to Las Vegas. And 9 years ago, this weekend, we started this church. And in January, like 2 months ago, I got this message from two of my law school friends who I have not had any contact with since the day I left 27 years ago. No contact. And they said, hey, we're going to be in Vegas. Do you want to meet up? I was like, sure. And so we met. And the first thing they said was, Vince, you evaporated. Like, you just disappeared one day. Where did you go? What happened? Why did you leave? And so I said, well, here's why I left. And I started a church in Virginia Beach and now one in Las Vegas. And they asked all kinds of questions. Tell us about this church. And what have you guys done? And so I talked to them about how, man, we have seen so many lives change here. And we've seen well over 400 people now who have found faith in this church called Verve. And they've given their lives to Jesus and they've gotten baptized. And we've had marriages that were broken apart that have been put back together. And we've had people people who struggle with addictions and have found freedom, and we have teenagers who are like running in the wrong direction and made U-turns with their lives. And I told them about how like we have a team go every year to Mexico of just volunteers, and they build a house for a homeless family. Like literally, they leave Thursday morning, they come back Sunday afternoon, and there's a homeless family that has a house. And we adopted this housing project in Las Vegas, and every week we're going and building relationships with the kids there and investing in their lives, and we're seeing their lives change. And tomorrow, because it was tomorrow, I'm going to India because we started two churches there, and those two churches have become eight churches, and they have these ministries that we've gotten about 100 women out of sex trafficking, out of sex slavery, and we've seen over 300 kids rescued out of growing up in brothels. And I told them all this stuff, and they asked questions, and they were like, wow, I guess you knew what you were doing when you left law school. And I said, I really didn't. I just felt called. And so I said, yes. Now, hearing that story, you might think, oh, okay, so I get it. So I guess being made for more means becoming a pastor. No, not at all. In fact, here was the coolest thing that happened in my time with my two law school friends. I asked them this question. I was wondering, since I got the email from them, I said, how do you even remember me? Like, I was only there for a year. It was 27 years ago. Like, how did you even know my last name? How did you find me? How do you even remember me? And one of them said, are you kidding? Like, you left a huge impression on everyone. And I laughed. And I totally thought he was joking. And I'm like, oh, that's funny. Ha ha. And he said, no, really. Like, it left a huge hole in our class when you left. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he said, they both said, you are the only person in our law school who was about more than law school. You were the only person anyone knew who was about more than the law career and the salary that we were going to get. And it was really cool to hear that, because I was like, yeah, that's right. I knew I was made for more before I even had the thought of maybe becoming a pastor someday. It had nothing to do with me becoming a pastor. But God called me to that. But being made for more might lead someone to stop being a pastor. So when we moved to Las Vegas to start this church, we had several families that up and moved with us to help us. One of them was a guy named Tommy Altman. And Tommy had gone to seminary, and he moved to Las Vegas, and he became a pastor on our staff. And then he felt like God was calling him to something more. And so Tommy decided to stop being a pastor and to become a tattoo artist. Why? Because he realized most tattoo artists will not go to church. In fact, most in the tattoo community are not interested in going to church. And so he thought, okay, I'll go to them. Like, I'll become one of them so they can know him. So they can know the one who they were made for. Yeah. Like, we were made for more. I also think of Patrick Briscoe. So he started coming to Verve years ago. He got baptized here, and he felt called to make an impact with our kids. And so he's been volunteering for years in our kids' ministry and making an impact on those kids. It's incredible. And he felt called to go to Mexico. He's gone on that Mexico mission trip several times. And so there are literally several families in Mexico who were completely homeless and now completely in a house. And Patrick Briscoe is a part of that. By the way, we're doing that trip in July, and if you want to sign up for it, we're doing information meetings very soon. Like, you're running out of time. You leave Thursday morning, you come back Sunday late afternoon, and you literally build a house. You might be like, I don't have skills. You don't need any skills. It's like, it will work, trust us. And so you just need to be willing to say yes to the call. We still need some more people to go. It'd be awesome. Sign up at the Velcro Bar after the service. We would love for you to go. I think of Patrick's wife, Dawn. So Dawn came. Dawn got baptized here. I think Dawn met Patrick here, and she had a background in finances, and she felt called to help people who are struggling with their finances. And she's been able to do that here. I think of Brian Buckley, who, when he walked in these doors, had never been to church one single time his entire life. But he found faith here, and he gave his life to Jesus. 3 years ago this week, he was baptized here, and he felt called to be a part of the band. He played drums today. He felt called to invest in teenagers. He's here every Thursday night with our student ministry. He felt called to these mission trips, and he leads our mission trip to Poland that we do every summer. And let me just say, I am so grateful. If you are someone who serves here, who has served here these 9 years, our church is what it is because of you. And so thank you so much for volunteering here and the difference that you're making here. And I want to tell all of you, you were made for more. And God is calling you to something greater, something beyond you, a bigger plan that it is going to take faith to step into, a dream that you will have to partner with God to achieve. And part of that is finding a place to serve. In those next step classes, which you could take today, it's every Sunday at 10:30 and 12, so you can go today to next step, and you learn how to discern God's unique purpose for your life. Like, where am I supposed to serve? How can I make the biggest impact with your life? We'll help you to do that, man. Take next step. Another part of God's plan for more for you is to help others know the one that they were made for. And so those invite cards in your seat for Michael Francis, give those to some people, because it is, I said earlier, the easiest invite ever. Somebody can be like, I'm an atheist and I hate church. Do you want to come and hear this mafia boss tell his stories? Sure. And so like, invite everybody. So listen, you were made for this. You were made for more, just like a made man. You were born into this. You were chosen into it. And if you say yes, you are then three, initiated into it. So in the mafia, if you're chosen, and if you say yes, you then go through an initiation ceremony. Turns out the first mafia initiation ceremonies happened in Sicily in the 1870s. And what it looks like for the mafia is you go in front of the other members of the mafia and you declare your commitment to the mafia, and then your finger is pricked because they want you to shed blood for the mafia. So with God, you are chosen. Okay, you have been chosen. And if you say yes, God asks you to go through an initiation ceremony. That ceremony is called baptism. In baptism, a person is lowered underwater, and then that person is raised up out of the water. They're lowered under, and then they're raised up. And in baptism, you're committing to God and the life he has for you and the family that he's given to you. It's a commitment. It's kind of like a marriage. So in a wedding ceremony, it's like an initiation, right? Like in that ceremony, you're being initiated into this marriage relationship, and you're being initiated into this family that you're joining. Before the marriage ceremony, you decided this is a person worth committing to. And then in the marriage ceremony, you make that commitment, right? That's why we take vows when we get married, right? Because we're saying, I am committing to you. Can you imagine if you had a couple and they're taking their vows, but the groom decided to change the vows? And so the pastor says, for richer, for poorer. And he says, for richer, not for poor. No, not for poor. Forsaking all others. And he says, forsaking some others. Like, not all, but I will forsake some, but not all. Pastor says, in sickness and in health, he says, in health, yes, but what kind of sickness exactly are we talking? No, right? You don't go into marriage like that. And if you want to marry my daughter, nuh-uh, boy, right? Like if you want to marry my daughter, she deserves more commitment than that. And so does every bride. And so does God, right? God deserves complete, utter commitment from you. God has given you his complete and utter commitment, right? He's given everything for you. He sent his only son for you. You know, in the mafia, your finger is pricked because they want you to shed some of your blood for the mafia. But with God, he shed his blood for us, right? Jesus was tortured. His finger wasn't pricked. Nails were driven through his hands and his feet. He was crucified and shed blood for us. God loves you. He loves you so much, and he is totally committed to you. And he's asking, will you love me back? And will you commit to me? Will you? Like, will you say yes? If so, you get baptized. That's the initiation ceremony into a relationship with God and his family. It's actually been the initiation ceremony since the very beginning of the church. So today is our church's 9th birthday. In the Bible, in a book of the Bible called Acts, chapter 2, we see the birth of the first church. It's like the original birthday of the church. There's this guy, Peter. He was one of Jesus' disciples or apostles, and he stands in the middle of the city of Jerusalem, and there are thousands of people surrounding him, and he preaches the first ever Christian sermon. And in the sermon, he tells the people, hey, God came for you. Jesus came for you, because of your sins. Your sins had separated you from a relationship with God, but Jesus came and Jesus was crucified for you because of your sins. So he preaches a sermon and it hits people. Look what happens in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. It says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? They're like, we know we need to do something. What do we do? We want to be saved. How can we be saved? And Peter tells them, here's the response he gives. It says, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's God living inside of you. He says this promise that he's making is for you and your children and for all who are far off. That's us. For all whom the Lord our God will call. That's you. So he says to repent, and he says to be baptized. To repent means to do an about face. It means to turn around. So it's like this life that I've been living for myself without God, I turn from it and I turn to God. It's that commitment we're talking about. It's like I'm committing to live my life for God. And then he says, repent, he says, be baptized. In baptism, you're lowered underwater. And the idea is that it looks just like when Jesus was lowered into a grave. And it represents dying to the life that I was living without God. And then you're raised up out of the water. And it looks like you're being raised out of a grave, just like Jesus was raised out of the grave. And it represents getting to live a new life with God and for God. Again, it's kind of like a wedding ceremony. You know, on my wedding day, my wife and I, we exchanged vows and we exchanged rings. And I was declaring to the world, I am committing to this woman. And that's what happens in baptism. We step over the line and we make our commitment to Jesus, just like Jesus committed to us. And Jesus is looking for people who will do what he asked them to do. And he's asked us to be baptized to show our commitment to him. In fact, he said that in Mark 16:16. He said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. If you haven't, are you ready? Are you ready to make that commitment to him? So we have our baptistry. It's really more like a hot tub. But we have our baptistry set up. We do this every few months or so. And so we're going to give you the option getting baptized today, like today as in like 5 minutes from now. So what's going to happen is I'm going to pray, and then our band's going to do a song, and then we're going to do baptisms if people want to get baptized. And this is your chance to say yes. To say yes to Jesus, to say yes to what you were born into because you were made for this. To say yes to what you've been chosen for because you were made for more. You were made for a relationship with God and life in his family. You were made for more. But will you say yes? Will you step into that? So I'm going to pray. And in this prayer, I'm going to say yes to God. And if this is your prayer, you can make it your prayer. And then we're going to sing a song. Band's going to lead us. But if you want to be baptized, instead of staying and singing, what I'm going to ask you is to walk back to the door. And I'm going to be standing back there. And there will be a couple of volunteers standing back there. And we've got shorts for you. And we've got a t-shirt for you. And we've got a towel for you. We have thought of everything. And so you're going to be able to change. And then we'll come back and we'll get baptized. And you can change back. And you can be dry going home. And you have gone gone through this beautiful ceremony and you all stepped into this new life that God has for you, knowing that God has said that he is going to fill you and always be with you, and knowing that he has given you a family that will love and support you, and knowing that, man, he has been waiting for you. Like, if you've never done this, he's literally been waiting all eternity. He's always had the idea of you in his mind even before you existed. And he's been waiting for the moment that you say yes and step into that relationship with him that you were made for. And so if you want to do that, we're all going to stand, we're going to pray. And when I say amen, just walk back and we'll meet you back there and give you a hug and give you shorts and a t-shirt and set you up. In a couple of minutes, we'll do this, okay? Let's pray. Well, actually, let's stand and pray. Let's stand. God, thank you for being a God of love. Thank you for being a God that even though we reject you 1,000 times, you continue to hold your hand out and reach out in love and invite us into a relationship with you. Thank you that you have had that in mind since the beginning of time. You thought about us. You waited for the day we were born. You rejoiced in it. And you look forward to when we would come into a relationship with you and live life with you. And God, every day we have this choice. Do I want to live this moment? Do I want to live this day close to God in relationship with God? So God, I say yes. I say yes to Jesus and what he did for me on the cross. I say yes to understanding that I have sinned and my sin separates me from a relationship with you, but you never stop loving me. I say yes to the idea that I can't even completely understand, but that somehow Jesus' death can take my sins away and put me into relationship with you. I say yes to following Jesus, to your forgiveness. Thank you, God. I say yes. God, if there's anyone who has said yes on a past day or saying yes today and has never been baptized, I know there's hearts beating fast, and should I really do this? And I wasn't prepared for this, and I didn't bring clothes for this. And God, would you help us to have the courage to answer the call, to say yes? I pray all these things, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen.